What Radio, the music you want.
With your host, G's Dan.
I am the smartest man alive!
RadioWhat.com.
What's up, party people? It's Keys Dan with RadioWhat.com, DJLittleRock.com, coming to you live and in living color from the Radio What Studios. And this is my podcast, What Makes You Famous? It's an extension of the RadioWhat.com internet radio station that I've been running for quite some time. And if you need DJ services, where do I always send you? DJLittleRock.com. One more time, DJLittleRock.com. Check availability and get a free price quote, and maybe you can have me at your next event. You know I like to party with the people. The people need to be entertained. Are you not entertained? Let me entertain you. Speaking of entertainment, today on the program, I have Jamie Lyle. Jamie Lyle. Man, I don't know a lot about Jamie Lyle, but he sent me a song called Street Signs, and I thought it was so cool, and I put it on the radio station on RadioWhat.com. Right away. And then he contacted me and he says, man, you're playing my song already. Can we have an interview? And I said, yeah, I'm available. So we got right on to it. I mean, shoot, I barely know this guy, but I want to know more about Jamie Lyle out of Tennessee. And you're going to get to know a little bit more about Jamie Lyle out of Tennessee. And I'm going to let you know his song is called Street Signs. That's the one that he sent me. And I think it's so cool, man. It just reminds me of the trouble I was getting into when I was a young lad. And maybe, you know, some of the trouble I still get into. But I try not to get into trouble. I try to stay clean, stay upstanding. But, you know, sometimes trouble just finds you. All right. This week's shows. I have two public shows this week. I'll be at the Rab in Conway, Arkansas, the video dance party, karaoke jam. Yes, I said karaoke. Oh, that's a little hint of what's coming up, too, on the podcast with Jamie Lyle. Anyway, karaoke, you're the stars of the show. They got a full bar. The kitchen's open. Pool tables. They got a pool tournament on Friday night. So if you want to try your hand at playing pool and possibly make some money while you're doing it, check out the Rab on Friday night from 8 p.m. until 12:30 in the AM. That's when I'm there. They actually open up much, much earlier. So you could start early right after work. Play some pool, wait for the pool tournament to start around 7:30, and then karaoke starts at 8, and we go until 12:30 in the AM, and I think they close up the bar by 1 o'clock. So, yeah, it's always a good time at the Rab in Conway, Arkansas, Friday night. I'm so happy that I get to be a part of the show. I do that almost every Friday, at least, you know, 48, 49 Fridays out of the year. There's only a few that I just can't make it, or I have something else that comes up and I take the night off. And then we have other karaoke jocks in town. Brock has some good karaoke folks, and anybody that knows. And then on Saturday, I have another karaoke show over at the Choctaw VFW in Choctaw, Arkansas, right next to Clinton. You know where Choctaw is. It's that small little town next to Clinton, Arkansas, which is a slightly bigger town. Heck, they got a Walmart. That's a pretty big town. Okay. All right. But the Choctaw VFW, I'm usually there from 8 at least till 12:30 in the AM, having a good time. They got a full bar. They got some food. They got pool tables. They got a big giant dance floor. And they got the karaoke stage right next to yours truly. Video dance party, karaoke jam. Always a good time at the Choctaw VFW on Saturday night. So come on out. They usually have me there about once a month. Now this month, I was there at the beginning of the month on the 6th, and now I'll be there again this Saturday. So excited. So come on out. The Choctaw VFW. Two chances to get your karaoke on. That's Friday night at the Rab in Conway, Arkansas, and Saturday night at the Choctaw VFW. All right, that's enough intro. Let's get into it with Jamie Lyle out there in Tennessee. He's just outside of Nashville, not right smack dab in the big city. He's just outside where the craziness starts to fade away, where you can get some real inspiration, you know, from country folk, from good folk. All right, I got him on Skype, so if you're listening to the audio version, I encourage you to check out the YouTube version on my YouTube, youtube.com/user/KeysDan. Skyping Jamie Lyle now. Look at you. Better. Yeah. Looking very professional. What did I catch you in the car? Are you on your way to something? Are you heading for the grocery store? Are you going to go pick up some milk and bread? What's going on here?
I actually am right outside of a Kroger, honestly.
That's funny. All right, where do I find you, Jamie Lyle? Where are you located at?
Hour west of Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee, the place you ought to be if you're going to be doing any kind of music, Music City, USA. Is that the bill on Nashville, Tennessee? Is that all kinds of music there?
Yes. It's amazing here for musicians.
Man, Jamie Lyle, are you actually driving or are you heading somewhere? What are we doing?
No, I'm actually sitting here.
Okay, so why in the car? Why not in a studio? Why not in a bedroom? Why not in a comfortable spot in your place of residence, dwelling? Are you homeless? What are we doing here?
Oh, no. No, I actually like to be outside and like watch life, like everyone doing their own thing, enjoying life, watching the sunset. It's just beautiful out here, and I'd rather take every opportunity to stop and smell the roses wherever I can.
Well, that sounds like something that a singer-songwriter, any creator needs to have some kind of inspiration. And that's how you get inspired is by, you know, observing the world around you. But I'm getting way ahead of myself. You know, I'm Keys Dan. How you doing? Jamie Lyle. You know, I know I have street signs under there because that is how we came to be. You sent me street signs this song that I thought was brand spanking new, but no, it's at least 2 years old. You have been at least kicking it, at least going full force into your music career for at least the last 2 years, if I'm judging by your DistroKid, your YouTube, even your Twitter feed gives me an idea of where you started. But give the people an idea in your own words. What is a Jamie Lyle? Who is a Jamie Lyle?
Honestly, I'm just a musician that loves making music that people can relate to. I have a lot of songs. I actually on standby right now, about 12 of them, I think, and more of them in the making. Pretty much, I started off with Drunk on Her, and that was a song about a girl that I met at the beach in Panama City, and it all bloomed from there, from the falling in love to the heartbreaks to the falling in love with the right person, and it just started going from there. So pretty much, I just wrote songs that I can relate to during the time of my life and also notice other people's life, and I actually, like, they inspired me. So I wrote a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you write from life. That's usually where the people first start. And then your creative juices start flowing and maybe you'll start writing some fiction, you know, your life will have creative license. Maybe she had brown hair, but the song, it rhymed better with blonde or red. And maybe she had blue eyes and brown was better for the song flow. But here's something that you do. I don't know if you know this. I do a karaoke show at least once every week at the Rab in Conway, Arkansas. My shameless plug on Friday nights. But if I'm looking at your YouTube page, you do something that I have never seen any artist do for their songs. You make karaoke songs out of your tracks rather than putting the actual song out there. You have like a couple of your live or your kind of you playing guitar and showcasing your ability to play guitar. So you have that ability, but even more than that, why did you decide to make karaoke songs out of your songs?
Again, it's just, I remember growing up singing other people's songs and it helped me get through my life during the hard times, the good times, all of the times. So I figured that I'd give back like someone done to me. And also it's kind of cool to give a sneak peek and you get the words to the song, but the song's not out yet.
No, the song's not out yet. And these are 2 years old, at least these karaoke versions of them. I guess you have your songs out on DistroKid. That's the only place that I've actually seen your name out there. Where can you find the Jamie Lyle songs?
Okay, so right now, pretty much on every streaming site, you can get four of them. That's Drunk on Her, Run Together, She's Not Thinking, and Street Signs. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be releasing another one that's already mastered. Like I said, I can release quite a bit in the next couple of weeks that are already mastered, just waiting for the right time. So, it's more about the people. Like I watch the news, I read the newspaper, pay attention to Facebook, Twitter, all of that, and then if I got a song that can relate to what's going on, then I'll release it at that point to assist.
Yeah, if you want fodder, you watch anything that's called the news, okay? And you can pick the right side of the news, the left side of the news. There's not much news that's right down the middle. And, you know, Facebook already is notorious. And you know you are Facebook. You can rebut if you want to. You can come on this podcast and tell me I'm wrong. But I think that they put the information in front of you that's going to make you mad. It's going to make you upset. It's going to make you want to engage even more. Yes, you can have puppies. Oh, look, puppies and kittens. And oh, look at that little monkey giving a bird a bath. Oh, that's great. But more often than not, they're going to throw something in front of you. Oh, look, these people are trying to kill you. These people are trying to do something wrong to you. These people are trying to steal from you. And they're going to make you engage that way. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I encourage Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, even X, formerly Twitter, that claims to be your freedom of speech bastion, which it kind of is. I see so much of stuff that I don't want to see on there, but you can pick the news stream that you want that is engaging exactly how you feel. And if you hear some news that you don't like, you could turn that station. Are there even stations anymore? You could turn that streaming service anymore. I just became a grandpa right now. Boom. No, you could turn, you could change that streaming service and find something that does jibe with the way you think. But I mean, with all this going on, you're a younger man than me. You've probably grown up with social media. You sound like you're tech savvy. Just the fact that you can make karaoke tracks. I've been a karaoke DJ for a long time. I don't know how to make a karaoke track. I'm sure there's a program I could just push a button on and drop the vocals and put the words on the screen. But, you know, give me an idea of how tech savvy are you, man?
I actually had to learn how to use Skype for this conversation. I never used it before. So I'm learning even to today, and it's crazy. But growing up, I started playing music at 9 years old. And just picked up the guitar and started playing. I went through a lot of guitar teachers and just still never gave it up. And I ended up getting pulled out of public school around, I think, 9 years old. It's crazy. I did a painting of, the Charlotte's Web movie, the new one that recently came out, like not recent, but a couple years back. I done a poster contest where I painted that and it won with Paramount Pictures. So ended up becoming like one of the first ones that watched that movie in the United States and took like 500, 600 people to the movies. And after that, I joined a robot team, learned how to do CAD and web pages, learned how to marketing and actually how to present yourself. Then pretty much went from there, try to learn on my own.
Jamie Lyle, you're a one man band. You never went to formal school to learn any of this. Okay. Now this is a debate that's been kind of ongoing on the What Makes You Famous podcast, whether you need to go to college. I went to college a bunch of times. I went to school a bunch of times. None of it really stuck. Although I did go to like little vocational college. I do appreciate that. I think people should learn a little vocation. Go to school to learn your electricity. Go to school to learn firefighting. Go to learn, EMT, nursing, whatever field you're interested in. There's little courses that they'll give you. Okay. Look, you might not be able to be a nurse in 3 months, but you can be a first responder or an EMT, somebody who can drive the ambulance and help a paramedic who takes 2 years or 4 years to become who they are. Become a lifesaver, but, you can learn woodworking. You can learn auto mechanic. Everybody's going to need even computer repair, all these things that need to be done. Now you can learn that in school or you can learn it on YouTube. And it's, do you need to go to college, or did you learn everything on YouTube or reading a manual?
Honestly, I learned by failures, and then just kept on trying. And it's crazy that you brought up firefighting. I used to be a firefighter.
Me too.
And it's crazy that you brought up electricity, because I went through IBEW, a trade school, with IBEW to become a journeyman electrician. So that's why I do full time.
That is something that that people are going to need, whether they go battery or keep with the AC. You know, you're still going to need Ohm's Law. OK, and I don't remember Ohm's Law, but I did go to Sheridan Vocational. And I do remember my teacher would go, "Ooh, it wants to be 1.5. It wants to be 2, really." And it, you know, he never gave me exact numbers. And I don't even think that when you're talking about resistance and electricity and voltage and amperage, if there's exact numbers, it's like, "Oh, this is going to hurt you real bad, but this is going to make it be fine, because you're going to, oh, as long as you're grounded." And oh my gosh, I remember that teacher so well. And he taught me 2 years of vocational school. I used a little bit of it when I did radio school as well. So I use that more often than not. And firefighting school, I've been to that. I was a smoke diver back in 92. Back in the 90s, I was a firefighter in Key Largo. And you're electrician? No, not really. Not really. Never did that. But fire extinguisher service, you know, fire extinguisher repair, you know, working with your hands is cool. Oh, cutting steel in the yard at True Value down in the Florida Keys, you know, working with your hands. It's something that country folk do, you know, something that people do. And it does provide inspiration for your country songs. That is the heart of America. People that work with their hands. Yep. Here I am talking into microphones almost every day of my life. You know, I don't work with my hands as much as I'd like to. I need to get a shop.
But you're making a difference, though.
Well, I mean, as long as I'm spreading the word about Jamie Lyle, that's a great thing. That is a good thing. But you say you picked up the guitar and you taught yourself how to play. Did you use tabs? You know, I know there's books of tabs that you watch YouTube. But you said you went through a lot of guitar teachers. Why did you go through all these teachers? Were they beating you up, or you beating them up, or what was going on here? Why'd you go through so many teachers?
Let me think. Honestly, I don't want to sound bad, but I remember a couple of them saying that, like, I remember watching them play, and the next thing you know, I got it. And they'd be like, "Okay, now it's your time to practice." And I already got it. So then we went through that a lot. And then I remember him telling my mother, I can't teach him anymore. He needs someone more advanced. So I went through, I think, six guitar teachers. And then I actually had to try out for one of them. It's Doc Stone School of Music here in Dickson County. And tried out. Next thing you know, got accepted. And then I watched, have you ever seen the movie That Thing You Do?
That Thing You Do. Try Not to Stink Today. I Make No Guarantees. I play that on that little voice clip on my radio station, you know, as a bumper between songs. Try Not to Stink Today. I Make No Guarantees. Oh, great, great movie. And the song was made by Fountains of Wayne, the ones that did Stacy's Mom. Yeah.
See, that was actually my first song that I ever played with in a band, played the guitar and sung at the same time. That was my first one. And with that band, I stayed with them, I would say, six years or so. We made it to the Ryman, which is the old Grand Ole Opry, I think about four times. And that was amazing. And all at a young age, which showed me a lot about music and understanding. And there's so much science and math and everything into music, and not many people understand that. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. It's a beautiful thing. And like, whenever you strum the guitar and as the sound travels, it changes. Like, whether you're at the Ryman, whether you're at the park, it's amazing. The wind, the surrounding area changes that sound. and it's just beautiful.
Jamie Lyle, you say the Ryman was the Grand Ole Opry. I think there's Grand Ole Opry's all over this, all over the heartland, all over the South, because we have a place here in Conway, Arkansas, called TC's, and that used to be, well, what I've been told is the Grand Ole Opry West. So there's a lot of history there. Oh, but when you go to the Ryman and you're listening, oh, you're talking about this song, That Thing You Do. If you have not seen this movie, my loyal listener, watch this movie. Because even in that movie, there's different iterations of that song. That song originally was written as a ballad, real slow. Doom, 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 doom. And the drummer takes it upon himself to speed up the tempo. Doom, 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 doom. And starts, and it becomes a shorter song, but a faster tempo and a pop song rather than a ballad. I mean, did you ever sing both different versions of that thing you do, that song?
It was, yes, I actually sang both, and it was amazing in the movie that you got to see both of them on stage at the same time. Like, that was amazing. They did a great job at letting that be shown.
Yeah, I know we're talking about music in general, and I was talking a little bit about social media, and this is how social media can become good. You know, we're putting a podcast out, we're learning about Jamie Lyle and where he came from, where you are and where you're heading. But I saw I don't know if you're familiar with Hanson's Bop, which was one of the biggest hits of the 90s. I think it was the 90s. I remember hearing it all through the 90s. Bop, 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 bop. Well, I'm hearing.
Yes, yes.
I just saw on my screen today a slowed down version of Bop. Yes, these kids are much older. They were teenagers. They were young. One of them might have been a tween, might have been 12 when he started. These Hanson brothers. But now they're much older, much wiser, and they were doing a slowed down balladier version. It made me feel this pop song that really the hook is about nothing. Bop, boop, bop, bop, bop. It's like in the '50s when they wop bop a loo bop a womp bam boo. You know, you can say nothing and still make people feel something. What do you think?
It's history. History repeats itself, and it's same with music. Even though music, like country music, starting to go a little bit more towards pop, but it's slowly coming back to the way it used to be. And even I'm not downgrading or talking bad about how it is now, because I love country music. I love all music. But it's another thing that history is going to repeat itself, and like you're going to experience it again, honestly. Like, and it's just amazing to watch it just change and new styles, but old techniques. It's a beautiful thing again.
Well, I mean, the country that my dad and my grandpa grew up with is much, much different than the country that is on stage right now. If one of my favorite movies of all time, music movies, is The Blues Brothers from 1978, I'm not mistaken. And they go to this club, Bob's Country Bunker, and they ask, hey, what kind of music do you guys usually play? And the waitress says, oh, we got both kinds, country and Western. Oh, okay. And this is a blues band that's coming in here, and that, you know, hijinks ensue. But, you know, it made me think about blues, about country and Western music, Marty Robbins, Hank Williams Sr., you know, the Roy Rogers, you know, the Dale Evans, you know, the old timey country that had twang, and it was very stripped down. You had a steel guitar, maybe a fiddle, and, you know, maybe some kind of a beat. I don't even know if they had drums, but they, you know, then I guess, Carl Perkins brings a little bit of guitar, electric guitar into it, and it starts to evolve. Even you know, Elvis Presley, when he's starting, he's singing some country, and then he's hearing some blues, and he's kind of mixing it together. It all evolves. But I remember the 90s and the early 2000s of country music was crazy. I think everybody was trying to mix up genres, figure out something new. You know, one of the songs that I heard on radio earlier was Nelly and maybe Tim McGraw. and they were kind of doing a rap as they were doing maybe it was Florida Georgia Line and Nelly. They were doing some kind of a rap while they were singing a country song. I mean, what do you think about the melting or the blurring of the lines?
It's different, but people love different. Like, talking about different, like, even a couple of my songs, like, I'm going to give out, I call them Easter eggs whenever I'm in the studio making them with everyone. But, like, I really encourage, like, people to actually try to play music, even if, like, even if you don't have enough money to go out and get the best of the best. Like, I even incorporated, like, a ratchet. There's a ratchet in one of my songs. There's a piece of conduit hitting against another piece of conduit. There's a tambourine with, I would say, probably like 80 keys hanging off of it. I'm like, even so much as down to a salt shaker. Like, there's in each of the songs, there is something unique that is not an instrument, but got like treated as an instrument. And it's just pretty much like my way of saying that you can make music out of anything. Like, I've seen people banging on drums, like they're banging on like garbage cans as drums, and like, it's amazing. And like, I just try to incorporate so much stuff and just show everyone that they can actually make music out of just like snapping. Like, snapping is, it's not an instrument, but you do it.
You got that right. I think almost every song of the 50s and 60s had some kind of clap, yep. You know, had some clapping in it. But you're making me think of things that I haven't thought of in a while. I took a trip to Washington when I was a kid, you know, just Washington, D.C., and there's a thing called Washington Go-Go, and it's mostly a couple of kids, maybe three or four kids, that are banging on a five-gallon drum and singing over that drum, maybe doing a little doo-wop, you know. And I'm, you're also making me think of one of my favorite shows growing up, Hee Haw. There was people blowing into a jug. Boom, boom, boom. Yep. That was part of it. Playing a washboard. Okay. People used to wash their clothes on these boards before electricity came about. And, you know, hey, they're playing, what is it? Blues harp? The twang, I think they call it, a Jew harp. I don't know if that's a very nice thing to say anymore, but everybody knows it's that bang, 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 a little piece of wire that kind of you use your mouth to make different sounds out of it. Man, Hee Haw was innovative.
I'm actually talking about putting that into my songs.
Yeah.
It's funny.
You're bringing it back, man. You know, throw a kazoo in there. Everybody can play a kazoo, and kazoos are pretty cheap. They're about $1 over at your local music store. Yep. Go grab a kazoo. Anybody who can hum, if you have the ability of speech, you can hum into a kazoo and make music all day long. I mean, little kids, I see them at parties whenever I DJ at a little kid's party, put a bunch of kazoos in front of them, some whistles, some slide whistles. Whoop, you know, and they're making music. They're having a good time, and their creative juices are flowing. Man, I'm having a good time with you, Jamie Lyle. And I'm just thinking about this. This is great.
The best part is you can play however you want as long as you enjoy it. It doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. And you was talking about bringing stuff back. Have you ever heard of the talk box?
Oh, the like wah 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 wah.
Yep.
Ooh, baby, I love your way. Oh, yeah.
So, my music, too. I brought that in. Like, it's just, like I said, whenever I started out, I would say probably about 13 or 14, I started into classical music, which, whew, that's a whole different ball game. But you can even hear a lot of classical in my guitar playing. And then it's just the beauty of, you never know what you're going to hear. Like it could be a salt shaker, it could be something, but the main thing to gather from it is to have a good time, forget about all your problems. And also, it doesn't take a lot of money to like make music. You can do it out of anything.
Well, chord progression is chord progression. There's a reason why Ludwig van Beethoven is my favorite classical music of all time. His music is timeless. It's been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And hopefully Jamie Lyle will start creating music and it'll be around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, certainly they're going to be able to do the karaoke version because I'm looking at your YouTube page and I see at least 8 karaoke songs of Jamie Lyle's that you need to be singing, my loyal listener. But, classical music is the way to learn. I know that there's theory and there's when you go to formal settings, and you already did, you had that one teacher that made you audition. Now, when you get to that level, that means that teacher is bringing something a little special, whether he thinks too highly of himself or he actually does have something a little bit special. What did you get out of that last teacher or that teacher that made you audition? Was there something special there? Did you get a little bit of knowledge?
Yes. Yeah. Like he taught me a lot about the guitar, and there's so much that I learned from him. And it's crazy that as time goes on, you kind of like slip apart from the people that you used to talk to. And like, man, I'll give anything to actually talk to him again. Like, and I got to just find him. But he actually helped me out a lot. I learned so much from him, from classical to talk box to actually being in a band. And then also watching the band fall apart and then standing up and being like, I'm doing this. Like, I'm going to keep on going. And that got me to a couple of bad studios. There's a couple of bad cuts on some songs and ended up getting pulled to Nashville with CMA. His name was Buzzy, and worked on Music Row with Buzzy for a little bit on singing. And then end up, crazy thing is, I was getting a haircut from this new woman that just come into this small town that I'm from. And she told me that her son was actually a producer that has his own studio. And what do you know, that just from getting a haircut. So even like, I try to stay away from Nashville because Nashville has not downing anyone that records in Nashville. Nashville has their own template. Like last year's hits is going to be this year's hits. Now, where I record my music is in a barn. Like it's really a barn. You walk in there and you open up this door, and the next thing you know, you're in a studio. And it's like, it's just the sounds is in the wood. It's just making country music in a barn.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody yesterday about music that they, scouting the location of where to make your music. They made a song in a bathroom because it had great acoustics. You know, something about the way the porcelain hit off the wood, hit off the stalls, hit off whatever. You people sing in the shower. That's a thing. Yeah. So there's great acoustics there.
I think The Sound of Silence is actually written about a bathroom. So a lot of musicians, and if you don't believe me, look that one up, because I believe it's 100% true.
Oh,
he's talking about.
Yeah, apocryphally, Weird Al Yankovic recorded My Bologna in the bathroom across from his radio station because the manager would not let him use the studio. So he had to go across to the bathroom in the radio station or somewhere on his, in his dorm or wherever, and recorded My Bologna. And it became a hit on the Dr. Demento show. I mean, that has been a story that I've heard for years and years. But that thing you do, even there, was recorded in a church, right? With clapping. Doing some clapping. So you're talking about snaps and claps and, having the right acoustics. You're scouting locations. I know that. Okay. You're talking about recording studios that are kind of hit factories. You can go with them. You could spend a lot of money. You can put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. They're going to take a lot of your profit. That's possible, but you could sell literally hundreds of thousands of records in the past. Now, I guess it's all streams and who knows where the money's going. But you can work in a smaller studio when I was working at radio stations, I worked at radio stations that had stations all over the country, hundreds of stations, and they were programmed pretty much by one person in a central location. All right, my pop station is going to have this music. My, country station is going to have that music. Rock over there. This is the playlist. You're going to stick to this playlist. Now, when I worked for mom and pop stations where they had either one or maybe two studios independent, I had more creative control. Now that I have radio, radio what? I play thousands of songs because I love them. I love the songs. So if I like it, somebody else is going to like it. I essentially created my favorite radio station. And I'm happy that Jamie Lyle is now part of that favorite radio station because I get to hear you on in my ears. I may not tweet it every time that I play it, but I play it a lot. But other than that, I mean, continue with your dealings with record studios, you know, as opposed like a big studio or a recording studio. Sorry about that. A recording studio in Nashville as opposed to The Barn.
Oh, I love the name The Barn. But it's just in Nashville or big high-end studios, you go in there and then it's like an oven. Like you can pretty much hear the dinging of the bell whenever it's done. And the beauty behind the making of the music is all of the blood and sweat and tears and the whole, I'm tired of this. Like we sung this like 50 times. Like that at the end of it, you can hear all of this, like everything hitting the floor. Like you sung your heart out and that may have been like the 50th time doing it, but you did it and it's worth it in the end. Other than going into a high-end studio that just hears like dollar signs and like they make it to where it's perfect the first time, you lose a lot of creativity. You lose a lot of like the person. Like the artists themselves, like who's like, what's the song's about, the whole meaning. It's more than just a meaning. It's a feeling whenever you're listening to music. It's like, it's not all about hearing it. It's actually a feeling it in your chest, like the 808 or just the pulsing. Like it gives, it's its own little living entity. Like it has a heartbeat. It has like, we was talking about weird stuff, like someone in the studio hit a vape and I heard it from my microphone and I was like, wow. So that one's actually, I haven't decided when to release that one, but I am going to release it and people's not going to believe it was a vape that actually made that sound. But I know I got off topic, but it's just, I would, if I was given any kind of wisdom to anyone, is it's better to go slow than to go fast. Like big hits don't happen overnight. It takes time and understanding. And I'll go with the slower pace, like studio over a fast pace that creates hits. And it's more than just being a superstar. It's actually leaving a legacy.
Yeah, there's no off topic, Jamie Lyle. It's all about you. It's all your thoughts and what you're thinking about. And going slow is something that I heard Jay-Z talk about a while back. In fact, there's a commercial where they were having this fast paced song and Jay-Z says, slow it down, and pulls the record backwards and kind of puts it on a different speed. But you're telling me the other side of the story. There are so many times that I've had people not just on this podcast, but throughout the years on the radio stations that said, oh, we got it in one take or we got it in two takes. Well, that's what the radio station wants. If not, you're wasting their time, you know, their precious time. But yeah, you lose a little bit of those nuances, those little, that vape. I remember when they were recording USA for Africa, Feed the World or whatever. Feed the World. Well, Cyndi Lauper was in there and the sound engineer was hearing like a jingle on the microphone. There's some noise there. I don't know what's going on. It's Cyndi Lauper's bracelets, all those bangles that she used to wear, jingling, jingling, jingling. And it was ruining the recording. But then it wasn't really ruining the recording. Yeah. I don't know if you could still hear the sounds of those bangles on there or if they made her remove them. But in the video, you could see she's still wearing the bangles. And Madonna, I think he was right next to her, wearing the bangles too. But hey, I wore bangles back in the 80s. I'm an old man, it was a thing. You know, you wear the spike bracelets. But I'm getting off topic. See, no topics are off limits. But you're telling me, you go into the big the recording studios, the hit factories, and they have their own band. You know, the Wrecking Crew, the Stax yeah. Records had their own band, and Motown had their own. You know, what do they call the I don't know. There's different like hired guns. All they need is the singer. They don't even need the rest of the band.
Yeah.
To go in there and make the song. Have you ever dealt with that where you brought in a band to record and they go, no, we don't need all you guys. We already got our guys or what?
I haven't had to deal with it per se. Like I did talk with a label and they talked about bringing in high end people out of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of funny at the same time as like I'm being real about it. Like they threw out some names, and then since I know quite a bit of people in the music industry too, I was like, I can get them too, though. And so pretty much showing that you do not have to have a label backing you to actually make good music. And like we went through different contracts, trying to sign different contracts, and I could not see myself signing one. And so I chose to stay independent. Because that's where, like, honestly, that's where it's slower pace. And you can actually, like, they say, repeat it again in the next verse. And that shows it means something. Repeating it and showing that it does mean something. So being independent does not make you less of a superstar than being signed to a label. You're still a musician. And at the end of the day, you're always going to be a musician, just like you're always going to be a firefighter. And you're always going to have that in you. So,
well, I mean, you're talking about supporting your local live music. You go to a bar or a restaurant and they have live music, or even the local club, the local venue is showcasing, the local talent, and you're going to get just as good a show as, you know, someone that came out of Nashville, out of the Hit Factory. Yes. But the advantage of that, you know, of them putting together the best artist, especially when you're starting out and you don't know anything, you don't know anybody, is you're going to get that talent and you're going to be able to learn from those seasoned artists. You're going to learn, oh, wow, that's the way you should set up the drums. That's the way you should set up that steel guitar. I didn't even think of that. Put a harmonica into it. What ukulele? Yeah. What are you doing with that? Oh, okay. That sounds pretty good. You know, but you have the ability to learn. But you know, if you have been around the block, you're there close enough in proximity to Nashville to where you're gonna know, you're gonna cut hair. You're gonna be sitting next to the guy who plays guitar in Charlie Daniels' band, maybe sitting next to you, and you strike up a conversation with him or something. I mean, but what actual people have you? Have you met up with in their smaller town next to Nashville? And yes, you can name drop. You can give shout outs to people that have helped you along the way. Who have you met up with?
I'm trying to remember the name. For some reason, I can't remember his name. That's what I love about Sunday. You know, the country artist that did that one.
Mm-hmm. I'll look it up while you're trying to figure it out.
Okay. I believe Luke Combs lives right down the road in Dixon. So I never got to meet him yet. It's just a lot of scouts, and there's probably been a lot of people that I never recognized, like in Nashville, because you meet a lot in Nashville. Like Broadway is crazy. Like it's so much music, and like you can go to one bar, hear one song, go to another one, and here's a blues, and it's just amazing watching all these people jump up on stage, and then the karaoke's like I've seen your post just the other day, and I was like, wow, like if I would have known, like I am from Tennessee, so like I would actually make that drive to come sing karaoke because I love karaoke.
Come on, like, that's a 6-hour drive, man.
I actually have a girlfriend that lives in Florida, So about two times a month, I drive down to Florida. So tomorrow I'm heading back to Florida to sing more karaoke and spend some time with my girlfriend. So that's a beautiful 9.5 hour drive. So it's worth it.
Well, I'm from Miami, so I know it's 20 hours from where I'm at here in Conway, Arkansas, because I've driven it straight through. And my wife was, we had a small child at the time, and my wife is rubbing my shoulders. Are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like 20 hours into it. I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. Do you need me to take over? Yeah, just pull into the driveway, honey. We're here. I know a lot of people, a lot of musicians, since I've moved here to Arkansas, that have packed up and driven and moved out to Nashville just so they can try their hand at playing on Broadway. And I guess there's bar after bar after bar. I haven't been to Broadway. I haven't been to Nashville. I've been to Memphis. I know there's Beale Street on Memphis, and that's kind of a smaller music version of what Broadway is. How many clubs are there? And have you tried your hand at playing? And by the way, it was Craig Morgan that did "That's What I Love About Sunday." Oh, hold on a second.
The TV show Drake and Josh. I got to meet Drake Bell, and that was the reason why I started playing music, like really pushing it, because he was my idol at a young age. And next thing you know, I got to meet him. And I remember telling him one day I'm going to play up on stage. And he told me, you got to keep on practicing. And I practiced like crazy. And like, I knocked out my homeschool and then I practiced nonstop. But Craig Morgan, he was a good one. He is a good guy. And I love his music. He's from Dickson County and like really godly person. But Nashville is so, I can't even give you an estimate of how many bars, and it's full of life. That's all I can say. Pretty much everything that you ever want is right there, but there's a downside to Nashville for being a musician. Okay, so if you watch me, like, I live right down the road from Nashville, but I go there and sing karaoke, meet some people, because that's what it's about. But like I'm going to go out there this weekend and sit on a beach and watch a lot of people walking by stop and sing along to me playing guitar. And that makes it like living so close to Nashville, everyone comes to Nashville to be a superstar, but you never really hear of someone leaving Nashville to go somewhere else to be a superstar. Like, not that I'm wanting to be one, but it's showing that you don't, if everyone's walking the same path, be different. Don't be just like them. Be a golden, make your own path and like make some friends along the way.
You know, I'm so jealous that you're heading back to South Florida or Florida and to go be by a beach. And you say that you go busking out there in Florida. My cousin Timmy, Tim DeMatteo, he's been on this podcast before. He calls himself Buddha Holly. Well, you'll see him on Hollywood Beach in Hollywood, Florida, going up and down the beach with his guitar and doing a little busking himself. So you might meet up with my cousin Timmy. I don't know where you're heading in Florida. Where are you going to make me even more jealous?
Panama City, actually.
Oh, not quite as far as I'm thinking. Yeah. Okay, all right. Panama.
I'm actually wanting to go to Miami and all of that, but that's on my list. But like, the furthest I went was Plant City to go watch the Beach Boys.
What?
And that was like my biggest, like they're my biggest idol. Like you can actually hear a lot of them in my music, especially the new upcoming ones. Like, I'm a huge Beach Boys fan, and I'm actually really happy that I actually got to go see them. I know it's not all the same band members because some of them passed, but it was amazing. So that Plant City was the furthest I've been in Florida.
Well, from what I understand, the Beach Boys, even though the roster has changed, they grab some of the best of the best of the best to musicians, yep, to back them up. I don't even remember who
there's like cousins and sons, and like they try to keep it in the family. So that was pretty nice too.
Yeah, I like that those legends continue. We were talking about electricians and you know, plumbers and firefighters, how that those traditionally get passed down from father to son. I haven't even talked about your family. Is anybody else in the family playing music, or did you get any of these creative juices from mom, dad, cousins, uncle Bill, that crazy uncle that came over and played guitar and taught you how to play, or anybody?
The youngest of four boys. So my three older brothers, which are, they're all electricians too with the union, but they all tried to learn how to play guitar and never could play. So I was so jealous because my parents went out and got them like $300, $400 acoustic guitars when they're starting out. And whenever I started out, I got like a $98 guitar. And now that everyone's older, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go back and get them guitars. Y'all never, they're pretty much brand new. Y'all never played them, but, and that's another thing. I just brought up another topic. I bought plenty of guitars that was scarred up, that had, even one of them had a hole in like, in the side of it, the back of it. And I remember a guitar that's like beat up like that. And I remember kneeling down and saying, just because it doesn't look beautiful doesn't mean it isn't. Like, it's still perfect. See, so even whenever you're like, every guitar is different. Every cymbal is different. Every kick drum is different. Even though they're made by the same people, it's still different. And it's just find that thing that has a flaw in it and enjoy the flaw. Because in my music, there's flaws, and I know where they're at, and I still love them. Like, they're there for a reason, like a creak in the floor. We're going to keep that because it adds life to the song. And if I can get a cricket to chirp, then that would be amazing. Like, I would put that in there, but just something about life.
Well, the sweet sounds of the 70s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, all these, this time when everything was analog and tape was finite. We didn't have digital that can go on forever and ever and ever and ever. And you had terabyte after terabyte of place that you could put your music. You had 1, 2, 3 takes in the studio. You had to get it down because you didn't have the material to keep going and going and going. Now, you do hear a lot of those guitar licks, they'll have squeaks on the guitar. You'll hear drum beats that are not perfect. They're not set 4/4. You're like, oh, he hit a cymbal when he shouldn't have. But those are the parts that you remember the most. My favorite group of all time was Queen. And I remember Brian May playing that squeak. And you can hear that squeak on the guitar. And you're like, I'm waiting for the squeak. There it is. Bam, that's the best part of the song.
Even the Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith, their instrument that they're using in the beginning, I don't remember what it's called, but it broke, and they kept it in the song. You can even hear the break in it. And, like, it's just the flaws. The flaws is what makes something perfect. And it doesn't have to be perfect to be perfect.
Well, I do want
you. I'm sorry.
Okay, I do want to learn from you. I do want to learn from you that you're talking about the talk box, and I've seen I've seen it on stage. I've seen a kind of a tube that runs into a guitar. I don't know what the mechanism of a talk box is. I've seen it in a box at Guitar Center, but I've never seen it actually installed and used. What is a talk box?
To make it very simple, it's pretty much just an amp that sends the sound straight through to a tube. That's all it is. So it's no different than you talking. Like, you talk, but your mouth is what decides like what you're gonna how you're gonna phrase it and how it's gonna come out and sound. It's the same thing with a talk box. It's an amp that sends the sound through the tube, and then you just mouth. You don't say anything, you just mouth it, and then the microphone will pick it up.
Kind of like playing a kazoo, maybe? Like humming into it? Like a kazoo?
Yes. Yeah. Kind of like that. Yes.
Okay. That's what I always thought it was likened to. That it's easy to play as long as you know how to do it. I know that they use it in funk. I have a song called Get Funky or Dance and Get Your Funky On. And it's this.
Tell me something good.
Oh my gosh. Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan also featured in the Blues Brothers movie. Watch for her. She's one of the gospel singers in the Blues Brothers movie, but that's a whole nother story. But man, yes. Yeah. You're, I'm waiting for that song. Now, speaking of songs, the one that brought us together, the street sign song. I listened to that street sign song and I felt the feelings that I felt. I don't know what the statute of limitations are, but I know that there was 2 30-mile-per-hour signs in my bedroom, and there was a few road hazard lights and maybe some of those Bob's barricades. I don't know how they ended up in my room. Maybe I know, maybe I don't know. I've forgotten over the years, but those 2 30-mile-an-hour signs somehow made it to my stepdad's airboat and became his ailerons on the airboat. So he's got 2 30-mile-an-hour signs on the back of his, the airboat had a 350 small block Chevy. So it was a powerful son of a gun. But I remember those 30 mile an hour signs went missing from my room. So somebody stole what was stolen and made it into an airboat. Was there truth to that song?
I'm sorry?
Was there truth to that song?
I'm not really at liberty to say on that one.
I can neither confirm nor deny because I do not know statute of limitations.
The truth to that song is that I would do it again if I got the choice.
Yeah, I remember growing up in the Everglades, we played BB guns. And yes, it is what it sounds like. No, we did not plink little cans or harm little animals, maybe sometimes. No, we did one pump on our Daisy rifle and shot each other in the leg, in the thigh. One pump from 20 feet. That's it. No, not two pumps. No. You're too close. Oh, okay, that hurt a little bit. I might have a BB or a pellet still stuck in my knee somewhere to this day. I don't know. The skin grew over it. But stuff you get into as a boy, you got your motorcycles, you got your ATVs. If you're in South Florida, you go gator jumping with your three wheeler. I mean, what kind of stuff did you get into when you were a kid? Minus the maybe street sign thing happened.
Honestly, I got into like a little bit of running from the cops, honestly. Yep. I end up leaving work one day. And I seen a Mazda RX-8 with weeds growing out of the engine pretty much. And I went in there, like told the guy I bought, and he's like, $1,000. I'm a mechanic. I never could get it to work. And it actually, swear to you right here, like it fired up that day in that yard. I drove it to the bank to get the money. And that little Mazda RX-8 with a rotary engine.
Yes.
And a manual. Yeah. Yeah, there's some good runs.
Yeah, I had a Mustang 5.0, but I remember the RX-7 back in the day. You can hear the it had a distinctive sound, the rotary engine, and it was fast. It was so fast if you got it running right.
Yes, I remember revving that up, and then the backfires, and cops were show up saying that we were shooting shotguns off in the middle of the night. It was good times, but like the song said, like you'll do it again. Like, and that's what's amazing. No matter how much trouble you got into, you'll probably still wish you can do it again.
That's inspiration right there. And that's growing up the way you're supposed to go outside, play outside. You've done this whole podcast outside in your car, Watching the sunset. It's already dark where you are, and you've seen people going by out of the Kroger, the fine people that shop at Kroger. Sponsor Jamie Lyle. Kroger, please sponsor Jamie Lyle. Throw him some food, give him some canned goods. He needs, and pay his rent, okay? and help him get down to his girlfriend or bring his girlfriend up. Speaking of that, I mean, is there any talk of where you're going to meet? Because I ended up in Arkansas because I married a hillbilly, okay? I married her down in South Florida, in the Florida Keys, on the ocean, looking at this beautiful water. And then she got homesick because her parents went back to Arkansas. And she said, honey, can we go to Arkansas? The things you do for love. What will you do for this woman? Because you know she's going to be listening to this.
Yes. It's crazy because she originally was from Tennessee and moved to Florida. She's been wanting to come back to Tennessee, but wanted to live in Florida. So my goal was to top out of school, like the apprenticeship, become a journeyman electrician and go to Florida. So now it just like stopped. because I think that I'm just going to stay in Tennessee and then we'll just vacation in Florida. Like, well, so I think this one's going to be it. Like, it's only going to be love songs from now on.
That's beautiful, man. I mean, even my wife has some regrets. She says, I need an ocean real bad. Where's the closest ocean? So I think we're going to take that 9-hour, 10-hour trip out to Panama City and see what we could see and put our toes in that salt water. So maybe we'll be out there watching you busk and play guitar at some point before your honey moves up to Tennessee and you make the long trip. You know, if that's in the cards, if that's what's, you know, what's meant to be. But I appreciate it, man. I think we got to start landing this plane. We got to start. I mean, I've got an idea of who Jamie Lyle is, and Street Signs, a great song. My loyal listener, you need to listen to that song. It's fantastic. Inspiration for the other songs. I mean, Drunk on Her, that's obvious. You were thinking of a girl on that one, and Better Life, and Never Be Lonely, and Drowning Worms, Crazy. That's just self-explanatory. What's Crazy about?
Crazy actually had an orchestra in it. Like, Crazy does have a lot of strings.
Nice.
Yeah, that was, yeah. But,
Okay, now, which ones did you make in a larger studio, or were they all made in the barn by you?
The barn. It was all in the barn.
Well, is there an engineer?
I hired some. There was some musicians coming in from Nashville that come in to play. None of them like big names or anything like that. But yeah, so it was stuff like that mostly.
Well, is there an engineer, like, or is there? Are you mixing it down yourself? Who's doing the mix mastering?
That's the lady that cut my hair. Her son is still he's the one that I pretty much teamed up with. He's a producer. He does the mastering, and I just pay an hourly rate.
Well, shout out. Give credit where credit is due. I mean, shoot, he's charging you, but he's still doing a great job for you. So anybody that wants to follow in your footsteps, where do they go?
Yeah. His name's Brennan McGuire. He's also a musician that plays in Nashville a lot. So, yeah, like you can reach him anywhere in Nashville, pretty much any bar. He's there every single week.
What's the name of the studio, or is it just the barn?
He's never really established a name yet.
I think it's the barn. The barn at wherever you're at.
I'll tell him about it.
Yeah.
See if he likes it.
Nah, it's fan-bloody-tastic. It's simple, and it'll let people know the barn at, you know, McEwen or wherever you're at.
Yep.
Okay. Well, shoot, man. Any other shout-outs you want to give as we wind this thing down?
Honestly, I want to give a shout-out to all the indie artists. Like, keep on doing what you're doing. Even if everyone else is telling you that you're not doing it right, keep on doing it, because you are doing it right if you love it. And that's the biggest shout out that I can actually give right now.
Well, that was pretty good for last words for the people. I usually finish this thing off with last words for the people. I don't want this to be the last time that we talk. As time progresses, if you have other things that you want to promote as time goes on, it doesn't have to be a whole hour of podcasting. This is just a kind of a getting to know you podcast. You might have shows that you need to promote. You let me know about it. But I always finish these things off with last words for the people. This could be words to live by, something you heard a long time ago, maybe a mantra that you wake up with every morning, or whatever pops into your head at this moment in time. Jamie Lyle, give the last words for the people.
Don't give up. Don't stop trying.
Well, there you have it, party people. Jamie Lyle, what a cool dude, man. And he says he's been doing it since he's 9. To me, anybody under 30, they look like a little kid. So 9, it could have been like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. I'm kidding. I kid. But I know you've been doing it, man, putting it full force, at least for the last 2 years. But you're an engineer. You're an electrician. You got that in your back pocket. That's a fine, upstanding citizen providing a fine service. You and your brothers. Oh, it's a whole family of electricians. So you got that to fall back on until you get your music career where you want it to be. And you keep writing those songs, man. You keep doing it. Keep putting it out there, chugging forward. And put whatever instrument you want in that song. It makes it interesting when you hear those little mistakes. You know, as long as you're not trying to put those mistakes in. So I'm sure some of the hit makers, some of the hit factories are going, oh, yeah, that guitar, it had a slide on it. And that was pretty interesting. Why don't you try to do your solo and put that little slide in it, you know, on purpose? It just doesn't work that way. When it's a true accident, it sounds genuine. When it's accidentally on purpose, it's not genuine. And people are going to know. People are going to know that, oh, yeah, he tried to do that. He tried to do that every time. He does that when he's on stage. It's not genuine. And one person that is genuine, I can tell right away, is Jamie Lyle. Good dude. I'm so glad to know you, Jamie Lyle. I'll be following you around on your social medias until you get a website out there. I got all the social medias in the show notes right there, right below. So make sure you check out those social medias. I think the main place is probably the Facebook and the YouTube and the Twitter. Now, if you want to learn his songs and sing them at karaoke, I encourage you to check out the YouTube. There's 8 songs you need to learn. So get to work, my loyal listener. Go get to work right now. Do it. And if you need to know how the songs, how the melodies go, check out the DistroKid. I got the link there for Jamie Lyle, and especially the Street Sign song on DistroKid. Man, such a good dude. I'm so glad that I got a chance to talk to you. Thank you, Jamie Lyle, for being on the podcast, the What Makes You Famous podcast. Now, if you, yes, you, I'm turning my attention to you, my loyal listener. If you'd like to tell your story, I encourage you to give me a call, 501-470-6386, or email keysdan@aol.com. That's it for me. It's keysdanradiowhat.com, djlittlerock.com. Peace. I'm out of here.
Be on Radio What? Call 501-470-6386. Say your name, where you're from, and you're listening to What? The music you want is on RadioWhat.com.
Radio What? The music you want. Hey guys, this is Shelly G with a fast fact. Mel Blanc, who played the voice of Bugs Bunny, was allergic to carrots. Do you have a fast fact? Share it with us at Interactive Radio, RadioWhat.com.
If you like what you hear, follow What Makes You Famous social media. Use the hashtag What Makes You Famous. Follow on Facebook at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Instagram at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Twitter at Makes Famous. And follow on YouTube at Keys Dan. Leave What Makes You Famous podcast a review and subscribe. Listen to What Makes You Famous podcasts on Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and almost anywhere you find podcasts. Tell your story on my podcast, What Makes You Famous. Call 501-470-6386 and leave a message to set up a time. You can support What Makes You Famous using the PayPal link, paypal.me/KeysDan. What Makes You Famous podcast is a production of Keys Dan Enterprises Incorporated at keysdan.com. Thank you for listening.